Join together to worship God. The steadfast love of the Lord is established forever. God's faithfulness is as firm as the heavens. The Lord invites us. The Lord welcomes us. We are in God's company. We join together to sing, "All are welcome."
Thank you.
So let us pray. Loving God, we offer our worship in response to your invitation. As we come to worship, we are welcomed by you. And may the warmth of your welcome inspire and enhance the worship that we offer. God, your Spirit draws us into your presence. We are drawn by love and upheld by grace to encounter Jesus, who is our Saviour, who we know as our Master and our Friend. In him we see God known as Father and Mother, whose love Jesus has embodied for us. We draw close to offer our worship and to offer our praise. Gracious Lord, we confess that there have been times when we have judged others and found them wanting. We are sorry when we turn away from your children in their need. We are sorry when we think that we are too busy. We are sorry for the times our welcome is lukewarm. We are sorry for the tepid offering of our love. Forgive us and help us to remember the warmth of your love and your welcome for us, and to be inspired to share that warmth with all people, and to know that at this time, the welcome of our presence in people's lives, when we are so isolated from one another, is so important. Bless us and forgive us, Lord, we pray. Amen. We say together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. So we have two readings that we would share with you, from Jeremiah 28 and from Matthew 10. And John and Maggie Arnold will read these passages to us.
This reading is taken from Jeremiah chapter 28, verses 5 to 9. Then, in the presence of the priests and all of the people who were standing in the temple, I said to Hananiah, "Wonderful! I hope the Lord will do this. I certainly hope he will make your prophecy come true and will bring back from Babylonia all the temple treasures and all the people who were taken away as prisoners. But listen to what I say to you and to the people. The prophets who spoke long ago, before my time and yours, predicted that war, starvation, and disease would come to many nations and powerful kingdoms. But a prophet who predicts peace can only be recognized as a prophet whom the Lord has truly sent when the prophet's predictions come true. Amen."
Matthew 10, verses 40 to 42. "Whoever welcomes you welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Whoever welcomes God's messenger, because he is God's messenger, will share in his reward. And whoever welcomes a good man, because he is good, will share in his reward. You can be sure that whoever gives even a drink of cold water to one of the least of these, my followers, because he is my follower, will certainly receive a reward." Amen.
So let's listen for the word of God.
A good morning to those of you who are just joining us for this sermon, those of you who are watching us online. What we're doing, King's United Reformed Church, is we have a Zoom gathering, and then we import this recorded piece, and then we Zoom again and have Holy Communion together. If you'd like to be a part of that, that would be great. You'll find the details are all on our website. Have a bit of a look about and come and join us. You can even come and join us and be hidden, and if you don't want people to see your face. And if we can do anything for you, there's telephone numbers, and it'll be great to have a conversation and get to know you well. The texts that I am preaching from today are Jeremiah, which means the Old Testament, Jeremiah 28, verses 5 to 9, and then Matthew 10, verses 40 to 42. Jeremiah 28, verses 5 to 9, and Matthew 10, 40 to 42. So maybe you pause, get your Bible out, read it, and then come back in. One of the books that I've been reading during this season is a bit of light detective nonsense based on Shetland. So Shetland is think Scotland, think north, think more north than that. And the interesting bit in terms of this context is that a number of times the policeman, the detective, mentions that somebody is starting to settle into Shetland because if they make you a cup of tea, they always offer something sweet. It's one of the markers of being one of the locals. And for British people of a certain age, they would know what that was like, that it would be the normal thing. That if you made somebody a cup of tea, you also gave them something to eat. And for some people listening to this, they might well think, whoa, something sweet. You mean something as pudding at the end of the meal that I would expect to give you? And I certainly have been there with African families when I've said, right, well, I'll pray with you now and then I'll be on my way. And they have said, what? You're not going to stay for dinner? Hospitality is one of the markers of the Christian faith. Not how cheap can we make the coffee and how little can we spend on the biscuits, but are our guests being treated well? And are they being received as we would receive Jesus? And that's the teaching that Jesus is emphasizing here. Those who receive the disciples receive him and receive the one who sent him. The disciples are sent people. The church is made up of sent people. We are sent people. All the baptized are sent people. We are people with a mission. What does that look like for Kingston United Reformed Church at this time when our building is shut? It's always true that for most of us, our mission is about activities that happen in our offices, in coffee shops, in pubs, in schools, in homes, in hospitals. Now, many of those things that were closed are beginning to start to open again, but only opening for some of us. So we still need to be focused on being the sent people of God in the whole variety of contexts and also in our homes, to be light, to be life wherever we are set. Just because our physical circumstances are not what we would like, that doesn't mean that God is absent. It means that there are times to be active, however difficult the circumstances are. From the Old Testament reading, there are two voices. One tells the truth, and one tells the people what the people want to hear. Nebuchadnezzar is the ruler of the invading army, and they impose their yoke around the shoulders of the people. And Jeremiah symbolizes their oppression by walking around with the yoke around his neck. Hananiah has prophesied that the yoke of Nebuchadnezzar's oppression will be broken by God. Jeremiah would love that. We'd love it if Hananiah was right, but he'll believe it when he sees it. Hananiah tells the people to resist, tells them that they will be victorious. And Jeremiah says, we're going to lose the fight. And you need to be ready, because it's going to be a long time in exile. And Jeremiah is proved to be right. So the question is, what went wrong for Hananiah? Was he in the pay of somebody? Did he wrongly discern God's will? Or did he get caught up in his desire to speak a word that would cheer the people up? And we all know what it is to keep our mouths shut when somebody has said some sort of half-baked, sentimental nonsense. The temptation to fit in and go with the crowd, that's our temptation too. Jeremiah believes that God will act, but just not yet. Being a follower of God doesn't mean that you can expect that God will always do what you want God to do. So Hananiah gives the people a plan, inspires them to take the Babylonians on as they approach. He sounds strong and energizing, and the people of Israel are not the first to be taken in by slogans that are what the people want to hear. Jeremiah tells the people to settle down and accept the fact that they are going to build houses, plant gardens, and eat the crops. Get set for the long haul, says Jeremiah. To the original hearers, that could have sounded like resignation to their fate. These are not migrants moving to make a better life for themselves. They are people who are forced to go from one place to another, and yet they are told by the prophet to build houses because they're going to be there for a while. To build a house in the last place that you want to be. Jeremiah says they will be defeated and they need to accept it. And he symbolizes it by wearing a yoke. And God will act again. Just not soon, says Jeremiah. There are times when we need to build our house in the last place that we want to be. Those who are in pain can avoid the pain. They can refuse to build their house in the place that is the necessary exploration of their feelings. They can do it by numbing, eating too much, taking drugs, drinking alcohol. Or they can feel the pain of it, building the house. Settle into the sadness and awareness of the catastrophe. It's not the situation that we want, but we will make the best of the situation. We will build substantial quality structures in this time. We will not wait. Indeed, we did not wait. We knew that we were in a situation for the long haul. We didn't know then, and we don't know now for how long. There are already a number of voices saying that we should not expect to be gathering in church until Christmas time. The Hananiahs would say, it'll be over soon. We can get back together quickly. The doubters would say, church is finished, pack it in. Jeremiah would not be among them. He says, this is tough. We are going to be here for a while. Settle into it. Do not waste your energy fighting against it. Build a life where we are. Try to thrive in this new, strange situation. Yes, but doing what? And that's where the reading from Matthew comes in. The teaching of Jesus in Matthew is not good for those who like things as they are, or like church to be a stationary thing, or church to be easy and peaceful. Jesus defines the church as being the sent. It is people who are on the move. Of course, that doesn't literally mean people who are moving from one place to another most of the time. Those who do the work of Jesus the Christ can do that work as they live in their care homes, where they move very little, but they can do the work of the kingdom. It's not about wandering physically, especially not now. It's about being outward in our focus. It's about being generous in our relationships with others. Hospitality is not only cups of tea and biscuits, however great that is as a starter. It's about, how are you? What can I receive from you? What can I learn from you? How can I discern Christ in you? How can I help you to see Christ in you? To let you know that God loves you and that you are God's valued child, as I am. Just because you are. All of us baptized people are sent by God into the world to tell and to embody the good news, to bear Christ to others with humility, with vulnerability, and to know that there will be times when we suffer from rejection. Mission is not a program of the church. It's the very foundation of what the church is and does. It's about living a life that is focused on others. It's resisting the inclination to listen to the easy words of people like Hananiah in our time, and listening to the tough messages of the Jeremiahs. It's not a faithless activity. It's a timely behaviour. We are people who are sent. And sent, of course, implies, I would rather not, but I will.
So let us pray. We pray for all who take a step into freedom. All who hear good news and discover that their lives are more precious than they ever thought possible. All who find release from the captivity of grasping for more and more. And a freedom from trying to build their own fortified self. All who discover in their longing that they have already done all that is needed to draw them safely home. For all who will this day tell a story or share a scripture that inspires a fellow pilgrim. All who will love in such a splendid and unassuming way that the world's rough brokenness will be smoothed and made well. All who will risk much to stand firm in following Jesus, and whose witness will be light in dark places. Lord, may these people know your presence, and may we be numbered among them. This we ask in the name of Christ and through the power of the Holy Spirit, who lives and reigns with you, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Some notices. We're starting to think about opening up the building. And so for those of you who are local, which is not all of you, because we have Jihei in from Korea, we have people from Scotland. Hello, Jihei, nice to see you with your family. So you're in two different worlds. And we know others are, there's a whole gang of people who are with us, but they're not showing their faces, they're listening. And some of them we know are also in Korea and other bits of the world. Just great. You'll see my wee tiny grandson somewhere among you. Hello, from Scotland. Little guy from Scotland. Anyway, those of you who are local, we're starting to think about opening the building. So what we're going to do is move the coffee service into the worship space. To make that happen, we need to move all the chairs out of the foyer so that nobody sits there, and we need to have the worship space got ready for it. If you are free on Thursday, if you are fit and able to do so, do not come if you've been told to stay at home. It'd be great, come from 10. Catherine's in charge and she'll tell us to pick and shove and scrub and whatever else she's got to do. And if you could help at some other time, maybe do a bit of decorating, maybe do a bit of cleaning, could you also get in touch with Catherine? If you are a person who would help with the coffee bar once it's set up, would you get in touch with Liz? And Maggie will be glad to hear from anybody who would be helping with listening. A happy birthday for this week from Bron. Big significant birthday, Bron. Woo! And it's Maddie and Sue Shaw's birthday this week as well. If anybody needs help with their giving and organising it electronically, please speak and we'll help you as we can. We all know, of course, that the work of the church goes on in this season, and that means that the money has to be found. And so donations are always welcome. If you need me to take a cheque and put it into the bank account, post it to me and I'll walk down, use my steps and post it down. Or if you work in the world of cash, I will stick it through the door and I'll walk it down and lock it in the safe. When we finished our time of worship together, we will gather electronically in chat rooms. So if you can stay, that would be great. And one of the things that people are talking about at this time is that what they set out doing, how they set out managing this thing, is just getting a bit boring. Now, I just want to remind you of the fact that every day there's a coffee morning, every day there's prayer, there's a chance to have Bible study on a Wednesday, there's the soiree on Thursday, there are things going on. Maybe it'd be just a chance to try something a bit different. Maybe. So now, would you like to equip yourselves with the things that you need for Holy Communion? And I will offer an offering prayer. So let us pray. Eternal God, we come with our gifts to offer the sacrifice of praise and the service of our lives through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. God, we come to your table waiting to meet you, reaching out with unspoken joy that strains to break the bonds of silence and erupt into songs of praise. God, you are there waiting in the silence, ready to greet us in bread and wine, answering our longings with loving welcome and crowning our praise with promises fulfilled. God, we wait, we reach, we find. Praise be to you. Amen. Hear the narrative of the institution of the Lord's Supper as it was recorded by the Apostle Paul. I received from the Lord what I also handed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took a loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body that is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." So in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and following his example, we take this bread and this cup, and as Jesus gave thanks, So we give thanks. Let us pray. We thank you, God, for the gospel that we have heard with its power to change lives and bring hope to places of despair. Thank you for all who have received the gospel joy and risked sorrow, pain and death for the sake of it. Thank you for the gospel's power to strengthen and encourage us, even though we struggle and are often weak and afraid. Thank you for the promise to us, to our children, and to all who are far away, that the Holy Spirit will be given with forgiveness, welcome, and love. Pour out your Holy Spirit on these gifts. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us, the givers. Transform them. May this bread be to us as the body of Christ. May this wine be to us as the blood of Christ. And as we eat and drink, may we know that we will have a place at that great heavenly banquet. Know that we are united with our brothers and sisters in Christ around the world, united with one another, united with you. Blessing and honour, glory and power belong to you, our God, for now, forever. Amen. In the face of death, the Lord Jesus took bread, blessed, broke it and said, "This is my body, it is broken for you." When he knew he was going to suffer, he said, "This is my blood, it is shed for you." The body of Christ, the blood of Christ. Well, let us pray. Lord Jesus, you unsettle us. You steer us out of the shallows of our daily existence, calling us to shoot the rapids with you. Though our boat is small and frail, you encourage us to move out into deeper waters, to adventure alongside you. You invite us to travel in faith, sometimes with no apparent light to guide. In the danger and the darkness, Lord, your hand is at the helm, guiding us by the stars of your love towards the safe haven of your peace and journey's end, where we will rest. Lord, may this time at this table remind us that you will be our companion in the mundane, the everyday. Thank you. Amen. We join together to sing, "I, the Lord of Sea and Sky."
Is it all?
big thank you to all our techie people and to our singers, musicians. Thank you very much. We all know where technology can get us, and Richard Scorer has just about got his heart rate down back to normal. Lord have mercy. Christian Aid quiz, we will be back in touch with people soon. So go in the name of Jesus, to follow the way of Jesus, to love with the love of Jesus, and to be sustained by the peace of Jesus. Martin, would you like to unmute us all, and we will say the grace together? Is it you or is it Isaac? Whichever one of you. Let's say the grace together. The grace
of Jesus Christ.
The love of God. And the fellowship of the Holy Spirit.
Be with us all.
Amen.